Good morning. Turn with me in your Bible this morning to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. And find verse number 66. John, chapter 6, verse 66. While you're turning in your Bible this morning to the book of John, let me invite you to join us for service on Sunday morning here at Calvary Bible Baptist Church at 11 in the morning, and we also have an evening service at 6 p.m. Please come and join us, and we look forward to seeing you on Sunday. We also have a Sunday school class at 1:30, and we have a youth group that meets at 3:30 on Sundays. So there's a lot going on. It's a busy day here at the church, and we'd love to have you stop by and join us for any one of those services. We also have a Wednesday evening service that starts at 7 o'clock, and that's our prayer and Bible study midweek service. So please come and join us. We look forward to seeing you here at Calvary Bible Baptist Church. John chapter 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Let's pray. Dear Lord, bless the message this morning. Bless those who are listening. Speak to our hearts, Lord, through your word this morning. May our hearts be open and ready, Lord, to receive the truth of your word, to receive the message, God, that you have for us today. We thank you and praise you for all that you're going to do. In your name, we ask these things. Amen. The Bible tells us, at this point, many of those who had followed Jesus up to that time ended up turning their backs on him and walking no more with him. Why is that? Why did that happen? What happened? What caused these people to turn their backs on Christ? The Bible says back in verse 24 of this chapter, after Jesus and his disciples had passed over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the people got into their boats and ships and went over to the other side looking for Jesus. They were searching for Christ. They were seeking him just a short time before, but now they were rejecting him. They were turning their backs from following Jesus Christ. Now, it's clear to me that these people were never serious about following Jesus to begin with. Like a lot of people today, they were just following Christ for their own selfish reasons. But after Jesus finished his sermon on the bread of life, that was it. That was the last straw. They all forsook him after that. So why did they leave? Why did they forsake Christ? They forsook Christ because they were offended by him. They were offended by the words he had spoken. Now we're talking about Jesus Christ offending people. Yes, Jesus did offend some people here in this chapter, and throughout the Gospels we read how Jesus offended people. He offended the Pharisees many times. He offended the scribes many times. We read about that in the Bible. Jesus offended these people, these followers of him, of his, and that's why they turned and walked away. The Bible says in verse 59 and in verse 60, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying, who can hear it? This is an hard saying, who can hear it? They complained that Christ preached too hard. And if he wanted to be popular and have big crowds come hear him preach, he needed to lighten up. If he wanted one of those super mega churches with congregations the size of some cities, he'd have to tone his preaching down. They didn't like that kind of hard, straight, fundamental Bible preaching that Jesus was doing. And they were offended by it, which is no surprise. Many people today are offended by hard, straight, fundamental Bible preaching. But Jesus never once apologized to that crowd. He didn't run after them saying, "Please, I'm sorry if there's something I have said that's offended you. I won't say that anymore. I'll change my message to make it okay for you, to make you like me more." Jesus didn't run after these people and try to get them to come back and follow Him. Jesus was unwilling to compromise His message. He was unwilling to change to please the crowds. Jesus wasn't like these cotton candy motivational speakers we see on Christian television and hear on Christian radio these days. And Jesus didn't feel He had to apologize for preaching the truth. And these bunch of soft, feminine, cowardly, smooth-talking, ear-tickling, sorry, low-down pastors we got running around today couldn't take the preaching of Jesus Christ for 5 minutes. He'd preach that crowd so far under the pews, they'd be scared to come out for days. Most of them, I don't believe, are even saved. These people who turned from following Christ here in John chapter 6 were not true followers of Jesus Christ. They turned their backs on Jesus because they wouldn't hear the truth. They didn't want to hear the truth. They didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. These people were shocked and offended by what Jesus was preaching. Not because Jesus was trying to be mean. Not because Jesus was being obnoxious or going out of His way to try to offend these people. They were shocked and offended because it wasn't quite what they wanted to hear. They decided that Jesus was a little too old-fashioned for them, a little too straight for them. They thought He was more of a religious fanatic, a little too extreme for their taste. But you know the only thing Jesus was guilty of was proclaiming the truth to these people. Jesus told them the truth, not to drive them away. Jesus told them the truth because He loved them. And He knew He was going to go to the cross and die for those very people who that day turned their backs on Him because He told them the truth and walked away. Very few people today are interested in hearing the truth. Very few pastors today are interested in preaching the truth. But Jesus spoke the truth, and so should we. I realize that not everyone is going to receive the truth, but some will. And those who don't, well, at least they'll have heard the truth. And when they stand before God at the great white throne judgment, they will be without excuse. So what truth did Christ proclaim to these people that they found was so hard and so offensive? Jesus said back in verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He that believeth in Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in Me shall never thirst." After that statement, the Bible says in verse 41, the Jews murmured at Him because He said, "I am the bread of life, which came down from heaven." What was it about Christ's statement that He was the bread of life that caused the Jews to murmur against Him? Back in verse 26, after the Jews had found Jesus, remember they went looking for Him after He had passed over onto the other side, and they went and crossed over the Sea of Galilee. They made it to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and they found Jesus, and they came to Jesus, and Jesus rebuked them. And Jesus accused them of seeking Him because of the loaves and the fishes, not because they believed that He was the Son of God. See, they weren't sincere at all about seeking Christ. They weren't sincere at all about following Him. They weren't serious at all about wanting to know Christ. And Jesus saw right through them. He knew their hearts, just like He knows our hearts. Christ knew they were just pretending to be interested in what He had to say because they were hoping for a free meal. They had witnessed the miracle of the loaves and fishes, and they wanted to make Jesus their king only because He had fed the hungry multitude. They didn't want Jesus reigning on the throne of their hearts. No, not at all. They wanted Jesus reigning on the physical throne to deliver them from their physical enemies. Not from Satan, not from the powers of darkness, but from their physical enemies. That's what they wanted to make Jesus a king for, because he had fed the 5,000 plus women and children. Then in verse 27, when Christ warned them not to labor for the meat which perisheth, remember Christ said, don't labor for the meat that perisheth, but labor for the meat which endures unto everlasting life. They said to him in verse 28, hey, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Remember, the Jews prided themselves in keeping the law. They were dedicated to their feasts and ceremonies. Their whole religious system was based on good works. They knew all about good works. They were into good works. So when Jesus told them to labor for the meat which endures to everlasting life, they were all ears. Their ears poked right up at that, because they were trusting in their own works for salvation. And they wanted to know what they had to do to obtain everlasting life. But the answer Jesus gave them in verse 28 wasn't exactly the answer they were expecting at all. They were probably expecting Jesus to give them a list of do's and don'ts to follow. But notice what Jesus told them. He said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom God hath sent. That statement went against everything the Jews believe. It blew their concept of religion all to pieces. They knew nothing about salvation by grace through faith. They had been taught they must work their way to heaven. They had been taught to keep the law in order to be in favor with God. So this idea about faith was completely foreign to them. The Jews were unwilling to accept the concept of redemption by faith. It was just too simple. They wanted some outward evidence. They wanted to do something. They wanted to perform something themselves. But Jesus made it perfectly clear to them that only God can meet the need of man in his lost condition. Because what God demands, only he can provide. The law, though it was good and still is, could not provide redemption because of man's failure to keep it. Have you ever kept the law? I know I haven't. God could meet man's need for redemption. Only God could meet man's need for redemption. And he met that need in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the feebleness of the flesh, man could not do what the law of God demanded from him. But Jesus, made in the likeness of sinful man, fulfilled the law and became the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. We work the works of God when we believe on Jesus, his only begotten Son. We are saved by trusting in Christ, not by our own good works, but by faith in Christ and Christ alone. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus told the Jews exactly what they needed to do to be saved. They needed to believe on him, but they wouldn't listen. Just like a lot of people today who refuse to be saved by simply trusting in Christ and accepting God's free gift of salvation. Instead, they keep trying to work their way to heaven by being good or joining a church or being baptized. But the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. If we were saved on the basis of our own righteousness, our own goodness, we'd all be in trouble today. Because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. We're all sinners and we all come short of the glory of God. I'm sure glad I'm saved today because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He is all my righteousness. Christ is our hope and peace, whom the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That's the truth that Christ was trying to get across to the Jews. Man cannot be saved based on his own righteousness, his own good works, his own goodness, because man falls short. We fall short. But by putting our faith in Christ and his shed blood, we can have his righteousness imputed to us. In verse 30, the unbelieving Jews wanted Jesus to show them a sign. They said in verse 31, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." That's when Jesus proclaimed himself to be the bread of life. Christ said in verse 48, "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." And verse 49, he said, "I am the living bread come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The manna the children of Israel ate in the wilderness only sustained them for a day. It disappeared. The next day, it was there. It only lasted for a day. But all those who partake of Christ, who is the living bread, will live forever. It never goes away. It's eternal. The statement that Jesus made about the bread that he would give being his flesh shocked and astounded those who are listening. This was beyond their understanding. But even though the Jews didn't comprehend what Jesus was saying, he was speaking the truth. The Bible says in Hebrews that the believer is sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Christ laid down his life and shed his blood to bring spiritual life into the world. His body was offered in sacrifice as an atonement for sin for all mankind. And all are invited to come to the table of living bread and be filled. Jesus told the Jews in verse 53, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." The Jews wondered at the powerful words of Jesus, and they strove among themselves and able to grasp the significance of what Christ was saying. They were thinking about everything in a physical realm. Did Jesus mean that in order to have eternal life, the Jews had to literally eat his flesh and drink his blood? Is that what Jesus meant? No, not at all. That's cannibalism. That's not what Jesus meant. That's a complete perversion and misrepresentation of what Christ was saying. But when we rightly divide the word of truth like the Bible tells us to, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the truth of these words. Jesus said in verse 54, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So we know Jesus is not talking about physically eating his flesh and drinking his blood. He's talking about a spiritual birth. He's talking about being born again. The flesh and blood of the Son of Man is simply referring to the sacrifice of Christ's body on the cross and the shedding of his blood when he died for the sins of the world. Verse 55 says, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." The Bible says in verse 59, "These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum." In verse 58, Jesus summarized the Lord's lesson. Verse 58 summarizes the Lord's lesson on the bread of life. While the Jews had boasted that their fathers ate manna from heaven in the wilderness, Jesus declared himself to be the true bread that God sent down from heaven to feed the world through the sacrifice of himself, through his broken body and his shed blood. I want to close the message this morning by asking those of you who are listening the same question Jesus asked the Jews in verse 61. The Bible says there, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" That's the question I want to ask you this morning. Doth this offend you? Are you offended by the words of Christ? Are you offended at his claim to be the true bread of life sent down by God from heaven to give life to the world? Do you find the statements that he made concerning his flesh and his blood to be hard sayings? The Jews did. They were offended by the truth that Jesus spoke to them. That's why the Bible says from that time many of his disciples, not some, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Only 12 stayed, and one of them was a devil. Jesus was left with just 12 followers, and he turned to them and he said, "Will ye also go away?" Jesus said, "Are you going to leave too? Are you offended too?" And I like what Peter said in verse 68. We give Peter a hard time, and I don't think we're fair to him. I think Peter was a great man of faith. I like what he said in verse 68. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" What a question. He said, "Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." When Jesus asked the disciples, "Will ye also go away? Are you offended? Are you also going to leave?" Peter said, "Lord, where are we going to go?" Remember, it was Peter we talked about last week who walked on the water to Jesus. Obviously, Peter's faith had been strengthened by that experience, and now he was convinced more than ever before that Jesus was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Most importantly, these words tell us that Peter believed that Jesus was also his personal Savior. Peter understood that Jesus meant what he had spoke. Peter understood what Jesus had meant when he spoke about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And he made it clear to Christ that it didn't matter what everybody else was doing. They could walk away, but he was going to stay. Peter believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He believed and was sure that eternal life was in Christ and him alone. He received the words that Christ spoke his truth. He accepted them by faith, and he confessed with his mouth that Jesus Christ was his Lord. Do you know the Lord is your personal Savior this morning? Can you say, as Peter said, "I know and am sure that Jesus is that Christ, the Son of the living God"? His body was bruised for you. His blood was shed for your sins. No other religion in the world can offer you the perfect salvation that Christ offers to you. If you reject God's love and refuse his free gift of salvation, you are turning your back on the one and only way of escaping hell and eternal damnation. Where else can you turn? Where else can you find such a perfect, all-sufficient plan of redemption? This is Pastor Daryl Serino here at Calvary Bible Baptist Church, reminding you that burdens are lifted at Calvary.